live it and believe it, and God, see the results and the fruit from it. And God, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. We all said,
amen.
Amen. So you guys have been in this series called Caught Up. And over the past couple of weeks, you've talked about different things of getting us, getting caught up in life and things that kind of get us caught up. And Joe sent me a definition, sent me a little screen capture of the dictionary in which the definition of caught up was. And that was basically you can get so caught up in a relationship, you can get so caught up in something that you literally miss the world as it happens around you. You're just blind to whatever's going on. And you know, there are so many things in life that we can get caught up in. You know, we can get caught up in offenses, we can get caught up in what other people do, like Pastor Joe talked about. We can get caught up in the world and everything that's happening around us. Tonight I want to talk to you, as we continue that thought and that series of caught up, I want to talk to you tonight about the idea and the subject of being caught up in ourselves. To be caught up in ourselves. And you know, it's amazing. It's just, God has such an amazing plan for you. And I don't know if you know that. And I don't know if you realize that. But God has a desire for you. Listen, it doesn't matter how you came to be. It doesn't matter how you came into existence on this earth. And honestly, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. God has something for you. The Bible says that you were created for a purpose, for a reason, for a potential. And we, as young people, and although I might be old to some of you, is there anybody in this place that's like 18? Any 18-year-olds? Dude, be proud of being 18. Doctor, you are not 18. Amen. But I feel you. Amen. Amen. To y'all, I'm old. I'm old. And that's all right. I'm not even that old. I'm not even old, man. I tried to roll up my pants. I tried to show my ankles because that's what everybody's doing nowadays. I wasn't going to be like Pastor Joe and wear joggers and dress shoes in the same day. You gotta complete the outfit. You gotta commit to it. And despite where we're at, despite how we live or we operate or we see ourselves, God has a plan for you, a purpose for you. Right here, right now, you exist. The breath that you breathe in your lungs, you breathe for a reason. You may not realize. You may not see it, you may not feel it, and you may not live it, but you need to understand that you have a purpose. You have a reason. But see, what happens is we get caught up in stuff. Like walking through a spider web in life. Have you ever walked through a spider web and just, it's like you got that yucky all over you, and no matter what you, even if you get it off, you're kind of like, it's still there. You can feel it. Sometimes we go through life and we get caught up and we walk through spider webs. And those spider webs trap us up and they entangle us and they hold us back and they literally suck the life out from our veins. But you see, we've got to learn to understand how we can't get caught up in certain things, and especially the subject of ourselves. And as I was talking about, it's amazing how God is just so mighty, and God is so sovereign, and God is so real, and God has such a grand plan and a grand scheme, that when Joe talked to me on Saturday about the subject of getting caught up, and he was like, hey man, you know, I kind of told him, I he didn't ask me to preach. I was like, dude, I want you to ask me to preach. And then he was like, you can preach. I'm like, all right. And I asked him, what are you talking about? And he talked about this, and I said, man, I got a message. Oh, I got a message, and I thought about it, and I was sitting on it, and I had heard some preachers preach a message similar to it, and just really planted the seed and in my heart, and I was alive with that message. And I've lived it in certain scales, in certain areas of my life, but it's amazing because God knew on Saturday what would happen to me throughout the course of the week and throughout the course of my life, and God knew exactly where I was going. I had no clue. I had no idea what was going on. And, you know, I'll just tell you, I'll be honest, you guys are my people and I love you. You know, there's an announcement at the church that Pastor Jim made it on Wednesday, and he's announcing it this weekend that, you know, my dad is officially going to retire and he's going to kind of take the position of president and founder. And he had been rearing myself and my brother-in-law, Pastor Dan, to kind of co-lead and kind of come at this thing together. And through the decisions and through the actions and the consequences of things that I had said and areas in my life that I had allowed to influence me, The decision was made, and it was a right decision to make, that my brother-in-law would be the senior pastor and that I would become the executive pastor. And it's honestly the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in life. But you see, sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we miss out on what God has. And sometimes we think about ourselves much more than we really are. Sometimes we look at ourselves and, you know, we say, I don't like the way I look, but yet I give attention to it. I don't like the way I act, but yet I continually give attention to it. I don't like me and I hate me and I loathe me, but yet I look at myself every day in the mirror and I brush my teeth and I do the best I can to make myself look better. Because even though we might say that we aren't wrapped up in ourselves, the truth of the matter is that we can get so caught up in our own selves that we have this picture and this image of who we are that really isn't who we are. And we have this sense of identity of who we are, but it's not really who we are, because we're so wrapped up in ourselves, we're so caught up in us, that we are literally blind and oblivious to the things of this world that are choking us and that are drowning us and that are taking us away from what God has in store for us. Because you were created for a reason. And we can get so caught up in our lives. We can get so caught up in us. We can get so caught up in everything that's going around and everything that we can try to do to make ourselves better that we literally miss out on our identity of who God created us to be. And even though you might say, I hate myself, every morning you wake up and you look at yourself. And if you have the opportunity to put a new shirt on, you'll put a new shirt on. And if you have the opportunity to buy the latest fashion, then you'll buy the latest fashion. You'll do the best you can to fit in and to make yourself look better, because no matter how much you might despise the skin that you live in, you still are caught up in yourself. We're a selfie generation. We like to take pictures of ourselves instead of pictures of other things. You know, we were at dinner one time, and my wife and I, our dinners are quiet. We're just quiet people. We people watch, and my wife and I, we're kind of like, I think we're just, how do you say that? Telekinesis, telepathic, whatever. We just talk without words coming out. I know her, and she knows me. And so we can sit across the table from each other and not say very much. And we were at dinner one time, and there was a couple, and I try to imagine this scenario. Maybe they were dating. Maybe they were celebrating an anniversary. We were in Hawaii, and it was a very expensive restaurant, so you don't just go there for no reason. So they were celebrating something, maybe a first date or an anniversary or whatever it might be, but there was this girl. And her husband or her fiancé or her boyfriend or her friend or whoever he was on the other end of the table at this fancy restaurant. And there we saw. And in the course of dinner, they must have said 30 words to each other. You know, after saying that we're quiet, we may only say a few words to each other during our dinner. But you see, their dinner wasn't wrapped up in time spent gazing lovingly into each other's eyes. About every 30 seconds, she took a selfie. And she would pucker her lips and take a selfie. And then she'd take a bite of her food and she'd take a selfie. And literally, I get this out-of-body experience where I look at my wife and I at the table and we're just sitting there at dinner like, staring at this girl with my mouth wide open, because I've just never seen somebody take, I would guess, 100 or more pictures of herself in the course of a dinner. And because of that, she was oblivious to the fact that the man that she was sitting across the table from was quietly eating dinner with his head down, disconnected and blind. And you know what? You may not be a selfie person, but we can go through life just like that. We can get so wrapped up in us. We can get so wrapped up in ourselves and our desires that we are literally oblivious to the world that is going on around us. And that is probably one of the greatest devices that the devil will put in your life and in your way and in my way, is the very fact that we can get wrapped up and blinded to a life that God has desired and designed us to live because we've been caught up. You know, in the Bible, in Romans, the 7th chapter, Paul the Apostle is talking about it. Romans, the 7th chapter, and 6th chapter, and the 5th chapter, he's talking about grace, and he's talking about the flesh, and he's talking about the law, and he's talking about the old and the new, and he's talking about legalism and justification. And he's talking about this word, and he says these words. And in Romans, the 7th chapter, Paul the Apostle says, I've discovered a principle in my life that what I want to do, that I want to do what is right, but inevitably I do what is wrong. Paul says, I see that there's a war. I see that there's a battle. I see that in my mind, in my heart's desire, I know what I need to do, but I'm caught up with myself, with my mind, with my flesh, with my life. I'm caught up. And he goes on in verse number 24. I can literally hear the cries of this man. And he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and by death? You see, Paul the Apostle, a man who was born for a reason, created, positioned by God to be a zealot, to be put under the mentorship of one of the greatest Jewish rabbis of his time, to be a persecutor of Christians so that God could utilize him as a vessel to spread God's word. God created Paul for a reason. And Paul says, I'm wrapped up. I'm wrapped up in myself. You know, it's kind of a funny statement. Everybody always laughs when they say that. But church, the struggle is real. It's real. It's real. Every day the struggle to not get caught up in me, to not get caught up in you. It's a real struggle. And until we figure out the struggle and the answer, we'll always get caught up. And we'll be held back. And we'll be stuck. And we'll be tangled and entwined with the things that keep us away from what God has desired us to become. And it's so funny and so painful that I had a message that I was going to preach with zeal. And just kind of blow in and blow out and blow out and then leave the mess to Pastor Joe. And then on Monday, what I thought my future would look like was pulled out from underneath me because I was wrapped up in myself. God's got a plan for you. And we cannot afford to get wrapped up, caught up in ourselves. Struggle's real. If Paul feels it, if I feel it, you feel it. It's real. And we have to learn and we have to understand how we can get beyond getting caught up. But it's not easy. It's not simple. I don't have 3 simple steps for you to become this great person and this great thing that God has called you to be. All I simply have tonight is an understanding. An understanding and enlightenment of the reality of what it's going to take for you and for me to live a life that's not caught up in self, but a life that is caught up in Jesus. Because that is why we exist today. And Paul says, what a wretched person I am. And when I look at myself and I look at the decisions and I look at the things and I look back at my insufficiencies and I look back at my mistakes, think about myself. What a wretched man I am. What a mistaken person I am. Who will deliver me from this? Thank God there's an answer. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Right. Jesus Amen. Is the answer to you and to me. To get caught up in self is to be caught up in something other than Jesus. Guy came up to me this weekend and said, Pastor Luke, man, I really like what you had to say. I'm looking for answers. I'm not looking for a preacher. And I just would love to hear from you, and I'd love to sit with you and just love to have you help me find answers in my life. And I said, listen, brother, I got nothing. The only answer I'll ever give you is Jesus. So if you don't want somebody to preach at you, you're talking to the wrong guy. Because no matter what you find in a science book, no matter what you find in a philosophy book, no matter what you find in the latest self-help book, no matter what Oprah says, no matter what Tom Cruise preaches, no matter what Rob Bell or anybody else wants to say, the only answer to you and I not getting caught up in ourselves and living to what God has created and destined us to is Jesus. And Jesus, if you got your Bibles, you can go with me. And Jesus tells us in the book of Mark, you can go there in Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark, the 8th chapter. I got my notes. I don't even normally preach from notes, but I've been so jacked up with this message that I need them. Amen. Go with me to Mark chapter 8. While you go to Mark chapter 8, Jesus is the answer. Because the very next verse, Paul talks about Jesus. And in the very next verse after that, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, Paul says, there is therefore no condemnation in Christ. And he begins to talk about not living a life according to the flesh and according to the desires of self, but living a life according to the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us because of Jesus. And he says these words in Romans, the 8th chapter. He says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, children of God. See, the Bible talks about the struggle that we live through, and the answer to getting caught up in ourselves is death. Is death. To not get caught up in yourself, you are going to have to die to yourself. That doesn't mean go home and die to your physical nature, but you are going to have to die to your physical or to your spiritual self, to your fleshly nature, to your dreams, to your desires, to your pride, to your wants and wills and direction and the areas of your life that you think are valuable to you. You are going to have to die to those areas so that you can live life. Because Jesus said, I've called you. Live life. To live a life of abundance. A life of abundance. We have to die to ourselves. How do I die to myself? Pastor Luke, I need to know. I'm going to tell you. Because Jesus told me. And he told you. Mark the 8th chapter. Mark the 8th chapter, verse number 34. Jesus says, calling to the crowd to join his disciples. Jesus says, he's recruiting followers. And he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, if any of you wants to follow me, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Amen. And what would you benefit if you gain the whole world, caught up in yourself and caught up in the world and caught up in everybody else and what they're doing, but lose your soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? The eternal being that you are through your soul. And Jesus says, you want to follow me? I promised you life. I promised you a spring of water that would bubble up on the inside of you in which you would never thirst again. I promised you fulfillment. I gave you the words, not of my own, but of my Father. And he says, you want all of this? You're going to have to die to yourself. To deny your fleshly desires. Pick up your cross and to follow him. How do we not get caught up in ourselves? By submitting to God through Jesus Christ. Your dreams, they're not your dreams. They're God's. Your future, it's not your future. It's God's. Your passions, they're not your passions. They're God's. You got kids. Your kids are not your kids. They're God's. Your job, it's not your job. It's God's. Your talents are not your talents, man. I watched Curtis, my man, destroy a guy last time he played at Redlands. I mean, he hit him so hard, I felt it. Dude's got talent. It's not your talent, bro. It's God's. You see, we get caught up in ourselves. Man, I'm pretty good at something. I like that. I think that people tell me I do a good job preaching. I must be gifted at it. I lost a bunch of weight, so instead of trying to dress frumpy, I'm going to look at what the style are, and I'm going to roll my pants up because that's what they do on The Voice. We get caught up in ourselves. We get caught up in our pain. We get caught up in our injustices. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the hell that I've gone to and back. It's not your pain. Because you're dead. You're dead. I got a steak. Because I'm preaching this shift, I'm going to go have a steak dinner. Amen. You wonder why I had a knife? When you get offended, you're not dead. When somebody says something to you and that pride rises up, you're not dead. Right? Front row's like, dude, amen. You best say amen to me right now. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm holding a knife and flinging it around. If your dreams are still your dreams, you're not dead. If your pain is still your pain, you're not dead. You know why? This is a cow. Would everybody agree? That's a cow. It was a cow. At one point, it was eating grass and whatever else they fed it. But you know what's funny is I can stab it. And I can tenderize it. I can pulverize it. And I can poke it, and I can prod it, and I can destroy it. But never once does it react. Never once does it tell me, stop. Never once does it say, hey, that hurts. Hey, you offended me. Hey, that's my dream you're messing with. Never once, because it's dead. And until our lives, we look like this, we're not yet dead. We're not yet dead. And we haven't yet picked up that cross and followed Jesus. I think one of the greatest sins that this church, not this church, God's church, His people, have ever committed is not the sin of adultery. It's not the sin of homosexuality. It's not the sin of drunkenness. Not the sin of pride. It's the sin of separation. That we get wounded from somebody else who's in our family because of Jesus Christ, and we pull away. And we begin to talk about what that person or what that church is doing right or what they're doing wrong and why we're better and why we're different. And all of a sudden, we are separated. And here we are. Called, destined to be vessels that declare the goodness of God to this world, and we can't even get our act together because we are so wrapped in ourselves, because we're so bothered by what somebody else said, by what somebody else did, by what somebody else is doing. We're so wrapped up in how good things are going in our life that we are completely oblivious to the fact that the world is dying and perishing and going to hell, and we're doing nothing to stop it. Because we're wrapped up in ourselves. We can't be wrapped up in ourselves. How do we die? We submit. We submit to give it to God. To surrender your dreams, your future, your desires, your hurts, your pain to God. And say, God, in this life, I'm dead because I'm going to give up my life because you promised me something greater. An understanding of dying. To dying to ourselves. You see, gotta understand that you will never find yourself until you die to yourself. You will never find yourself until you die to yourself. Breaks my heart. There was a young man a couple of years ago. He was in a leadership position at the church, and he was involved in a lifestyle that just was contrary to the Word of God. And so we sat him down. We just said, listen, brother, man, we believe better than this for you, man. We think that, you know, we think that you got some changes that you need to make based on the Word of God. And we took him there and we showed him. And you know, he just kind of said something. He said, you know, it's amazing that you talked about this because my mother told me that she knew all along about me. And she said, you know, the Bible says that God knew me before I was fashioned. And before I was born, God knew me. And he says, I'm just so glad that at least I know who I am. Man, we think we know who we are. We think we know who we are. The Bible says that we look into a mirror dimly. That when we think and we play the game of Christianity, we're like a guy who looks at himself and sees himself, and as soon as I walk away, I forget exactly what I look like. Because we have an image of who we are, but we don't realize what the world sees about us. Because you see, you may think you know who you are, but God knows who you are. Because God called you for a purpose and for a reason. And he fashioned you despite how you came to be and how you came to exist. God brought you here for a reason. For a purpose. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. God knows you better than anybody else. And better than you know you. And you may think you know who you are. But you don't know who you are. How God knows who you are. Until you are dead to who you think you are. And when you die to yourself, you will find yourself, because now you are no longer who you thought you were. You are who God says you are. Mark 8:34. We were there. You're already there. It's on the screen. Jesus says, you want to be my follower? You must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Does anybody have a cross necklace? Anybody got a cross? Anybody got a cross on them? Anybody got a cross? A cross. You got a cross on you, Angie? Anybody else got a cross? Anybody got a cross on them? A tattoo cross. Anybody got a cross? A symbol of a cross. You got a cross? You got a tattoo cross? Where is the tattoo cross? Okay. I'm like, dude, I don't see it, Derek. All right. We look at that verse, take up your cross and follow me. And to us, the cross is a symbol of life. It's a symbol of resurrection. It's a symbol of salvation. Because in 312 AD, a man by the name of Constantine saw a vision from God that the cross, he said, the God said to him, by this sign you shall conquer. And he instituted the cross as the official Roman insignia. The cross, the crusades, the sign of victory. But you see, when Jesus spoke this, it was not a sign of victory. It was not a sign of resurrection. Nobody had any clue about what was about to happen in Jesus' life. And so when he tells his disciples and the people who he's recruiting to follow him, he says, you must pick up your cross. What was a cross? The cross was a symbol of torture, a symbol of the agonizing form of death, one of the worst ways in human history to die. That's what the cross was. The cross was bloody. The cross was rugged. The cross was something to be afraid of. The cross was something that when you saw it, you went to the other side of the road from it. You did not run to it like we're accustomed to. Because Jesus says that if you want to follow me and you want to find out who you are, it will not come until you embrace your cross. To lose yourself that you might find yourself again. Because the life that you live is not yours. And here's the encouragement for death. Death is a heavy message. Death is a sucky message. Can I say that? It sucks to die. Can I say that? We all right? Can we be real? I could start cussing if I wanted to. No, I'm just kidding. The encouragement about death is that when you die, you don't stay dead. Because just like nobody saw what was happening on that cross, Jesus exemplified something. That he died on that cross. He embraced that cross. He willingly went to that cross. But he had done something on a cross that nobody else had ever done before. After being killed by that cross, he was resurrected to new life. He was raised to life again. And when you die, you'll never stay dead. You will always rise to new heights. You will always rise to new heights. You won't find yourself until you die to yourself. You won't find yourself until you die to yourself. Galatians, the fifth chapter, Paul says, those who belong to Jesus, that's who you are, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature, their flesh, to his cross and crucified them there. You'll never find yourself until you die to yourself. You can never lose what you give away. You can never lose what you give away. In my life, I found in my season that I was grabbing a hold of everything I knew as tightly as I possibly could in order for it to not slip out of my hands as I watched it go. As I watched identity go, fulfillment go, reason go, future go. But you see, when you give something away, you never lose it. But if you hoard it and you hide it, you'll lose it. Your life, if you give your way, life away, surrender it to Jesus. Allow yourself to die. Self-denial. You will never lose your life. You will only gain it in the back end. But if you hold on, it's my life. You don't understand. This is my future. This is my dream. This is my passion. I thought I was created for this. You don't know. This is my pain. It's made me who I am today. And I don't know who I am without it. If you hold it, you'll lose it. But if you give it, you'll never lose what you give away. You can never lose what you give away. Back in that verse, Mark, Jesus says, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for my sake and the sake of good news, you will save it. We hold so tight. But you see, Jesus says, you've got to learn to let it go. Your future, you hold it loosely in your hands. You say, Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus gave himself to die on that cross. He asked God, if there's any other option, Lord, please let the option present itself. Nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. And he walked into the hands of his captors, knowing full well the pain and the agony that he would suffer to become something greater to you and I. You can't lose what you give away. You won't find yourself until you die to yourself. You can't have life until you experience death. You can't have life until you experience death. Because Jesus said, I have come that you would have life and have more abundant life. But until you and I surrender ourselves to the will and to the way of Jesus Christ, we will never experience the life that he has desired and designed for us. But when you surrender it, and when you give it, you will find life. Mark, the 8th chapter, verse number 35, he says, if you lose your life for my sake, you will save it. You will save it. A couple of weeks ago, it's kind of fresh. A couple of weeks ago, we had puppies. My dog had puppies. That'd be kind of weird if I had puppies. My dog had puppies. And day after she had 8 puppies, we noticed one of them wasn't doing well. So we spent some time. I had just preached on Sunday morning, and I came home, and I spent my whole afternoon with the little puppy trying to get it to eat, trying to get it to rub it to warm up, and trying to do everything I could. That night, my wife, she came home, and she spent the whole night with the little puppy. And the little puppy died. It died. We've had 39 puppies with our dogs. We have 2 dogs, and that's one of the things that my wife does is has puppies. Well, she don't have puppies. She has dogs and has puppies. And out of 39 puppies, I've never felt on the inside of me a zeal to make sure that we do it right until I experienced the loss of one. Up until that moment, they were cute little things that my dog will take care of and nature will work itself out. And then when that puppy died, we felt the zeal on the inside to say, I'm going to do everything I can to not let that happen again. You see, until you experience death in your life, until you experience your personal death, you'll never experience the life that Jesus has for you. Because until you experience death, you're still caught up in you and not in Him. Your perspective is still based on your eyes and not His eyes. But when you give it and you let it go and you watch it die, you will experience resurrection life because of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, says it's better to be around funerals than around parties. Man, I love parties. Anybody like parties? Christian parties? Amen. It's better to be around funerals than parties. Why? Because you get a sense of reality around a funeral. When somebody's died, you begin to reflect on your own life. You begin to think of things, you know what? I never did this and I always wanted to do it. My life is short, and you start doing something. There was somebody across the way, and man, I hadn't talked to that person in a long time, and yet we're here together today, and life is too short. Let's rekindle that relationship. Because when you see death, you experience and you realize how valuable life really is. So you never experience life until you have death. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John, the 3rd chapter, you hear this all the time in our altar call, Jesus says that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, dead to the flesh, resurrected in the spirit through Jesus Christ. Dead to self, alive to Jesus. Dead to your desires, alive to God's. Dead to your pain and alive to the pain of the heart of Jesus Christ for this world that He died for, that is neglected and forgotten about Him. That's when you will experience real life. We don't realize how steeped and how deep we are rooted in pride. We don't even get it. We don't even see it. We don't even understand it. That a week before Jesus was to leave this earth until His second return, His own disciples were jockeying for their position in heaven. I want to be the better. I want to be the better. I want to be the better. And John, or Peter, Jesus tells Peter about his death. And Peter looks to John and he says, well, what about him? We don't even realize how caught up in ourselves we are. We don't. But you know what? We can start by submitting to Jesus and dying. The death that you die might be a small death. The death that you die today might be a death today that you face, and tomorrow you might need to face another death in your life to your desire and to your flesh. It's the constant sacrifice of our lives. But as John the Baptist said later on in that very chapter, in John the third chapter, verse number 30, John said these words, I must decrease so He can increase. It's got to be less about me and more about Jesus. Church, that's why we're here. That's why you exist. That's why you're looking for answers in your life. Because there's something greater than you. Jesus. He died on a cross so we would experience life. And He set the example of death. But He also set the example of resurrection when you die, the life that you live is no longer yours. The life that you live is now Christ. And Christ in you and through you. And the future that you thought you had, God says, I know the plans and the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord's. Thoughts to prosper you, to build you, not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of good. And you begin to realize you are not who you think you are. You are really who God thinks you are. And then, and only then, will you begin to discover that life is full of life because of Jesus. But it takes us dying to find out about life. It takes us letting go of ourselves and getting a hold of Jesus to find out what life is really all about. What could be accomplished in this world within Christendom, denominations, churches, Catholics, and every other person on this earth that professes to follow Jesus? What could be accomplished in this world if we realized that we don't have time to get caught up in ourselves, but to get caught up in Jesus? What would this world look like if the people that profess to follow Jesus Christ really died to themselves and lived according to Jesus? What would we accomplish? I venture to tell you that I don't think it's what would we accomplish. I venture to tell you I think it's what could we not accomplish. Because Jesus did tell his disciples that you will do greater things on earth than I did. But it's not going to come because we're a people wrapped up in ourselves. It's not going to come because I'm wrapped up in how I look and how I feel and what I want and my desires. And I'm like a little baby, me, my, I. I want my iPhone, my iPad, my iMac, my Facebook, whatever it might be. I want me. No, to realize the life that I live is no longer about me. Michael, it's not about you. Tony, it's not about you. Javi, the life that you live is not about you. See Beth back there, it's not about you. Eric, your life is not about you. Our life is about Jesus. And it's about life in Jesus. And then we will have a reason to exist. We will have a purpose and destiny. We'll have answers that we seek. Because we're dead to ourselves. And when the world comes at us, people offend us. But Pastor Luke, I get so offended by people in church. Pastor Luke, your message offends me. We won't react. We won't lash out. We won't retaliate. We won't run. We won't hide. We won't give up. We won't quit. We won't give in. We won't go somewhere else. We won't find somebody else to tell us what we think we want to hear. We'll do what God called us to do. To live life on earth for Jesus Christ. And then the church will be gathered together in unity. Your family. Your friends. Your school. Your job. We'll see the love of Jesus Christ. Because it's no longer about you. And it's no longer about me. Because to me, I'm steak. But to Jesus, I'm alive. A warrior. A kingdom builder. Not here to build my life. Not here to build my legacy. Not here to build my future. I'm here to build his kingdom. His legacy, his future. I venture to tell you, there is nothing better than to live the purpose you were called for. Jesus. You'll never find yourself until you die to yourself. But what you give, you cannot lose. What you give, you cannot lose. You'll never experience life until you feel death. And I'm not talking about going home and killing yourself, church. talking about going home and letting your flesh die. Letting your pain die. Letting your desires die. So that Jesus' desires could be fulfilled in you. So that, like that song, Hosanna, says, break my heart for what breaks yours. We live too many broken hearts that are based on us. But may we not live a life that is broken based on our own hurts and our own pains, but may we live a life of brokenness for Jesus. Because he's the one that fixes us. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that called us. He's the one that redeems us. He's the one through him we see resurrection life. That is what God called you here for. To live caught up in Jesus. Today you're in this place. Caught up in you. You've been playing the whole word game, and that's cool.